anyway, it is really good to be here. It feels like I'm home, you know. Yeah. I'm grateful to be here. I would like to ask you to do something with me this morning. I'm going to say two words, and I would like for you to observe, just notice your response when I say the words. Your energy, your feeling, any thoughts that come to mind, just what is your response, your reaction when I say, "More, please"? Got it? Okay. Just hold that thought for a moment. When I was thinking of this talk and putting it together, the first thing I thought of was like a child, you know, with that childlike curiosity and excitement and "More, please," you know, just real positive smiling. I have another dog. I probably mentioned this is, I always have three, it seems like. Anyway, Cinnamon, I got at the beginning of the year, and he is such a foodie, and so no matter what the food is in the kitchen, he's there. "More, please." His little perky face, you know. So that's kind of what came to me when I first thought of these words, "More, please." Not me, not always that positive response. Sometimes it's, there's not enough, you know. It's just kind of a feeling of a reminder maybe that there's a scarcity in some way. You know, not enough time, not enough money, not enough energy. I've started working, I'm feeling a little more of that than not enough energy. So "More, please" can sometimes come from a place of an energy of scarcity. You know, just, I need more. And I think of young mothers, you know, that when I was, many years ago, when I was a young mother, there wasn't enough time, there wasn't enough energy. It was just seemed like I was always tired. You know. And it could be that when you hear those words, "More, please," that maybe some old remnants of a previous religion that might have taught us that we weren't enough, we weren't worthy. "More, please, I can't ask for that. That's not important enough." There are lots and lots of different reactions that we can have. Unity, however, teaches us that, of course, we can have. You know, it is the Father's good pleasure, right? There is a man, I don't know if you any of you know him. His name is Richard McDeasy. He is a musician with Unity. No. He was in the events department when I was going through school. He was like their music person. And he has a CD out called "God Is." There's a song on there that is "Give It Away." And the words to that are, "If you want more money, give it away. If you want more love, give it away." And that's that Unity teaching about flow, give and receive. And indeed, there is scripture that teaches that same thing. This is from Luke 6, verse 38, probably very familiar. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Again with that flow thing. Now, we would all like more, please, wouldn't we? More abundance, more of anything that brings us satisfaction, a fulfillment, enjoyment. The woman who founded Academy for Coaching Excellence has a book called Mastering Life's Energies, and she identifies seven different energies that we can name, identify, and improve in our lives. Money, time, those are energies. Physical vitality, of course. You know, we are much more likely to enjoy anything if we're able to physically do it. So physical vitality. Creativity. We are, I think, at our best when we can let that creative energy flow. I heard an interesting show on NPR not long ago, several days ago, I think, and it was talking about, I missed the first part, so the setup wasn't great, but it was talking about a woman who had some form of dementia, Alzheimer's or something, but she was losing brain function. And this was apparently a woman who was an artist of some kind. I got the sense that maybe it was a writer. Again, I missed the first part, so I apologize for that. But what they found as they watched her, it was kind of a case study sort of thing, but as they watched her and she lost more and more ability to communicate, to form paragraphs, then sentences, then words, you know, it just kind of kept shrinking. But until she got way down at that base level of just basic things, swallowing and that kind of thing, that creativity urge was still there. She was frustrated because she couldn't do that creation. So creativity is a really deep and important part of us, our energies. And then there's enjoyment and relationships. I learned in COVID, during the time of COVID, how important being with people is to me, relationships are. So all these different energies, we would like an abundance of all those, wouldn't we? Yeah, more please, yes. I believe that it is difficult in these days with the environment or our society, the things that are going on in our world, it's kind of hard to be focused on more please with a good attitude with everything that's happening. It's kind of like all these things are swirling all around us. Costs are high. The gas, actually gas is starting to come down. I saw it was close to $5, I think, at the peak. And I saw something yesterday, a Circle K on Mid Rivers was $3.20-ish, something, somewhere around there. I know. Now, I didn't used to pay that much attention to prices, but now, I mean, that's a 40-cent difference between. Anyway, costs are high, you know, and groceries are higher, and supply is more limited. You know, the COVID just kind of knocked everything, all the production slowed, if not stopped. And so I remember seeing a picture of a whole parking lot full of vehicles that were just built, and they were complete except for a part, a circuit or something that they couldn't get. You know, so all these vehicles are just sitting there until that part came in. So scarcity and violence and hate. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I caught myself this morning on social media looking at what was going on, and I saw, this is the part that is embarrassing, I saw another shooting. And I have become so desensitized to the mass shootings that I saw it and kind of went, but I didn't notice where it was, how many were hurt, how many were killed, and I feel bad that as a human being, I'm not noticing these things. Why am I not as outraged now as I was in the beginning? So much of this stuff is swirling around us. How can we get from being in the midst of all this to having that curious, high energy, more please? Well, I believe it comes down to energy, the consciousness that we hold as we give it away. You know, like the song says, as the scripture says, give it away. That flow, you know, give and take, it comes down to energy. If you have children, you have probably had an occasion to, you know, the siblings are fighting, arguing, and so you say, stop it. Tell your brother you're sorry and give him a hug. Did you ever do that? Yeah. Okay, so they'll do it, but not happily. So when they say sorry, it's kind of sorry. The energy behind it is not forgiveness. It is not. And if you make them do a hug, they'll kind of flap their arms around the other one and walk off. You know, it isn't. It's the energy. Now, how many times are we asked, or we ask of ourselves, really, to do things, especially money. If you want more money, give it away. Now, a lot of times there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Give it away? Are you kidding? Have you seen the price? You know, there's that kind of reaction. Our energy is not matching. More, please. So what can we do? What can we do? I really like Eric Butterworth. He's one of my two favorite authors. And I think his writings are so spot on, you know, just clear, direct, and so unity. I got out the book, my book, Spiritual Economics, because it is abundance is prosperity, you know. Sometimes on prosperity we think money, but it's bigger than that. It's all these different energies. So anyway, I picked up the book and I looked at the introduction. I found all these references just in the introduction, and I didn't even have to dip into the book. One of the first things that I saw that struck me was he cited something that Charles Fillmore wrote. Charles wrote, "It is a sin to be poor." Now that's kind of a startling statement. A sin to be poor? First of all, Charles redefined sin metaphysically in Revealing Word to say error thought. So it takes some of the sting out of it if you say it is error thought to be poor. Butterworth says that is really more about, he calls it frustration of potentiality. I call it mindset. You know, if we are expecting, if we get tied up in, I don't have enough, there's not this, there's not that, if I get all tied up in that, my mindset is on poor, it's on scarcity, it's on lack, and as long as I'm there, that's error thought. Another quote that Eric Butterworth had, he said, "So we must begin to face the possibility that financial problems may be the outer manifestation of inner states of consciousness." Have you ever known anybody who just thinks that they don't have, just never enough? They think that they don't have enough money, regardless of what the amount is. I've known people that have had a great deal of money, but they feel like it's not enough, and they've got to make more, and they've got to put it away. And that consciousness is, it doesn't matter what the amount is, because that same can go the other way. There are people who are happy, just very content, and regardless of how much they have or don't have. It's really, really more the consciousness. So our outer manifestation is probably going to be a reflection of how we're regarding it inside, the energy around more, please, abundance. There's a cute story about it's been around social media, so you may have heard it. A father and he decide, rich, well-to-do family, and the father decides he's going to take his son to visit a person that he knows, their farm. It's kind of a, you know, just a, not luxurious, just a regular, simple farmhouse, and he's got a family and kids, and the kids have chores, and so they went out there and they spent the afternoon, and the little boy did chores with the other kids, and then they ate with them, and then they went home. So the father was really anxious to find out how the boy took this, because he was hoping that the boy would realize how much he had compared to where they had just been visiting. The boy's reaction was completely different. The boy's reaction was, "I had the best time. I got to do these chores, and I let the kids were fun. You know, he had fun with the kids doing the chores. The meal time was pleasant. There was plenty of food, and they passed it around. They talked and they laughed and they shared. And the little boy said, "Can we get a place like that?" Consciousness. It's about our consciousness. Butterworth says affluence, he defines it. He says the literal meaning is an abundant flow. Yes. You want more love, give it away. An abundant flow. He says, prosperity is not just having things, it is the consciousness that attracts things. A few weeks ago, I got my statement from the financial institution that takes care of my pension pot, and the numbers had dropped. My first reaction, I'll be honest, was because they had dropped. And it took me a day or so, but I kind of got back into,
it's okay.
That pot isn't my source.
Yeah,
God is my source. There are other, my good can come to me in all different places and ways. I will be fine. And so I got back into not a scarcity place. It was a little startling. But it was okay. So it is the consciousness that attract things. When we know that God is our source, when we remember what we are, not who we are, but what we are creations of God, of source, whatever name, spirit, whatever name you want to choose to use, we are creations of that. And there's scripture that says, even the birds of the field, the lilies of the field and the birds, all of that, they're taken care of. How can that be true for that and not us? So when we can really work on knowing that and acknowledging that and being that, then we know it and we trust it, we lean into it. And then we're able to go, more please, with a curiosity, with an expectation. My good is coming, I just don't know which way it's coming from and how much it's going to be and what it'll look like. But it is that energy. And then that brings me to the last quote that I pulled out of that introduction. Butterworth said, prosperity, abundance, considered in the broadest sense, is spiritual well-being. Think about that. If you're in that more please state of mind about anything, about everything, then you know that you're going to be taken care of. You know that all is well, regardless of outer situations. Not always easy. Simple, but not always easy. Spiritual well-being, when we can get to that energy again of, this is the energy I am looking out into the world with. Good expectation. So then going back to your reaction, bring yourself back to how you noticed that you were. You can be that more please. You can be that happy, curious, expectant, loving being. And really, if you had anything less than that, you can release it by remembering and knowing these things. Know this, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not just now, but in the next hour, the next day, the next week, always. Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember, know this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. We don't just receive. We receive, we give. It's a beautiful flow, and it works. And remember that God is always enough. I loved your song, Brian. It beautifully tied in with all of this, all of this. God is all there is. There is always good. There is always enough. So claim yours. Claim your good. Be grateful. Because that sets that flow in motion. Be grateful for all that you have, all that you are, and all that you will be. I invite you to be that loving, trusting, curious, more please person. Our master teacher and way shower gave us a prayer that we are to use as we go through life. He is our way shower. This is a string of affirmations. And think about, as you say this, think about all the things that you are claiming for yourself. So let's together do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
forever.
Amen. I would invite you, if you're comfortable doing so, to close your outer eyes, to relax, to set that intention, that mindset to open, willing, receptive. To be able to do that, we slow ourselves, we slow our minds, we slow our bodies, we become still. As long as there is noise in the outer and the inner, it is very difficult to hear that still small voice, so we become still. And today we do that by relaxing first, relaxing our bodies, from the tops of our heads to the tips of our toes. Consciously, purposely relaxing all of the muscles. Let your seat fully support you. We are safe. We are in the presence of loving hearts. We let go. We still our bodies and we still our minds. We do that not by fighting with the thoughts that want to crowd through, but just acknowledging them, just observing them. We see that they're there. We don't engage. We don't latch on. And we breathe. Focusing on the breath is a way that we focus our energies. We focus our attention to the breath. So as we take in a deep breath, long, filling our lungs as best we can, holding it just for a moment or two, and then releasing completely. And we do that another time or two, breathing in, release. Our bodies respond by relaxing, by letting go even more. And when we are still, it's easier, much easier, to remember that all of those things that are swirling in the outer are still now. Because the truth is, the inner, the enduring is in the inner. Life is within. Whether this body temple that we are using is still alive, the essence of who and what we are is always alive. It goes on, even if the body is gone. These things, these conditions in our lives that seem so powerful and important right now, they'll pass away. But these truths, the inner, these life, love, joy, peace, are enduring. They are eternal. Spirit is eternal and all-encompassing, all. God and I are one, and that means that we are all one. So it becomes easier then to shift away from these outer noises and come to this place of quiet, this place of knowledge and awareness, this place of truth. And we focus there for a moment, and we focus on the truth of God is our source. God gives us everything. Hold that thought. God is our source. God gives us everything. God works through many different avenues to allow ours to come to us. But God is the eternal source from which everything comes. It's hard to be hungry when there is an enormous pot of soup in front of you. Source is in front of us always.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I would invite us to take a few moments in silence just to consider the truth that we are expressions of Source, that we have all we need. We are all we need. All we need to do is just turn within, turn to our Source. In the silence, know this, experience this, feel this, and trust this in the silence. It's an amazing experience and feeling to know that we have everything we need now, always. A way to keep this in the front of our minds so that we can relax, that we can trust, is to remember the five principles. There is only one power, that is God. We, number two, we are creations of that source. And then outward expressions of that source in this world. Mind action is the third principle, and is by switching our thoughts away from those things that disturb that truth and focusing back again on those truths. We are best able to do these things by spending time in prayer and meditation, which is our fourth basic principle. And then number five is we walk the talk. With all of this, we are able and in fact are expected to live the truth that we know. So we are grateful. We are grateful for this awareness, grateful for this knowledge, grateful for the enjoyment, the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes in our lives, from our lives, as we practice these truths. We are so very grateful for all the good that we have and give thanks in advance for the good that is still coming. And we say, more, please. Thank you, God. Amen.